This story this morning is called Annie's Plaid Shirt. Now, I didn't have my plaid shirt today, but I do have my plaid pants on, and I see some plaid out here. But I'm going to need your help for this one, if that's all right. So the only line you're going to need to know is when I point out for you to say, I'm wearing my plaid shirt. Let's try that. Ready?
I'm wearing my plaid shirt.
Oh, choir, what about you?
I'm wearing my plaid shirt.
Oh, we got a plaid shirt. Yeah, all right. I think we've got this, right? So what does the arm mean?
I'm wearing my plaid shirt.
Awesome. So Annie loved her plaid shirt. She went to school in her plaid shirt. She went to parties in her plaid shirt. She painted in her plaid shirt. Annie did everything in her plaid shirt. But one day Annie's mom said, "Let's go to the mall. Tomorrow is Uncle Benny's wedding. Your brother needs a new suit, and you need a new dress." And Annie said, Annie's mom said, "Oh no, that thing looks like an old tablecloth. You really just gotta wear a dress to the wedding." Annie said, "Absolutely not, because
I'm wearing my plaid shirt."
"We'll see," said Annie's mom. Later, Mom, Albert, and Annie headed to the mall. Mom bought Albert a wonderful new white shirt and white suit and white pants. And Mom said, "Annie, will you at least try on a couple of dresses for me? Maybe you'll find one that you like." Annie responded, "Yuck, because
I'm wearing my plaid shirt."
Mom begged her, "Please, just this one time." "Okay, fine," Annie said, "if I have to." So Annie, Albert, and their mom headed into Frills department store. Annie tried on lots of dresses, but they all felt wrong. Annie saw that hopeful look on her mom's face, and she agreed to try on just one more dress before they left. Mom said, "It's perfect. You look so beautiful." And of course, they left the store with the dress in hand. But when they arrived home, Annie ran to her room and slammed the door. She wished her mom could understand. Annie felt weird in dresses. She sat down and pat her cat, telling the feline, "I'm happiest when
I'm wearing my plaid shirt."
Why couldn't her mom see that? On the day before the wedding, Albert and Mom were sitting at the kitchen table. Albert asked Mom, "Why can't Annie wear the plaid shirt to the wedding? Why can't she wear what she wants to wear?" Mom replied that, "I want Annie to be herself, but I'm worried about what other people might think at the wedding. Little girls always wear dresses to weddings." The next morning, they all rushed to get dressed for the wedding. Annie frowned at the dress, but then she had an idea. Mom wondered what was taking the kids so long. She started to worry. But then Mom thought to herself, "I should have let Annie wear the plaid shirt, but what if it's too late?" She yelled out to them, "Come on, kids, we have to leave now." Annie and Albert replied from down the hall, "We'll be right there." Then Mom heard Annie's voice, "Well, what do you think?" Annie stood in the kitchen with her arms outstretched in pride. She was wearing a matching suit to Albert's, except under her white jacket was her favorite red plaid shirt. Mom said, "It's perfect. You look so beautiful." "Of course," Annie said.
"I'm wearing my plaid shirt."
And that is the end of our story. And I know that there are some exciting things happening during the rest of our service in religious exploration this morning related to the theme of belonging and how each of us can belong to community as the unique expression of ourselves that we are. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that Annie got to wear her plaid shirt and express herself as she wished at her uncle's wedding. Annie stuck to who she was. She knew what made her feel most like herself. She was proud of the way she looked. Beneath the surface of this story is, of course, another story of a community, the transgender, genderqueer, and gender nonconforming community, and the LGBTQ community. Those people whose expression and identity may not be the same as the sex and gender with which a person was raised or socialized in their home or their first communities. I brought with me this new flag, which is called the Progress Flag. Isn't this neat? I'll show the choir too. Isn't this wild? So this began as an opportunity to represent peoples of color, black and brown, stripes representing people of color and an indigenous queer people, as well as transgender, genderqueer, and gender nonconforming people here at the hoist of the flag. I didn't know what a hoist of a flag was, but now it makes total sense, that point us in the direction where we still have so far to go, but where we're headed. Gender identity is one's inner sense of being and one's understanding of how we relate to gender, which may be maleness, femaleness, and all that is in between or neither of these, and so on. Gender expression is the ways in which a person manifests masculinity, femininity, both or neither, through appearance, behavior, dress, speech patterns, preferences, and more. Definitions that can never fully encompass who we are. They will never help us know all of who Annie knows herself to be as her full self. We have a spiritual invitation to cross divides of difference and take risks as part of the task of the religious community in order to get to know one another and care for one another. Labels and language can be tools of liberation or oppression. It's all in how we use them. Think for a moment, what language do you use to describe your own sense of self? In the end of the story, Annie not only wears her plaid shirt, but she chooses to wear an outfit that resembles that of her brother's. When I first read the story, I began to realize that the possibilities are endless for Annie's relationship to her gender, that my assumptions must be challenged. As a queer femme and cisgender, meaning I was assigned and socialized female at birth and by my family, I carry my own first inclinations and ideas about who Annie may love, what gender identity she may claim. There's many ideas about gender that surround us in our modern world, from gender reveal parties for expecting parents, to ideas of what gender a minister can be and who we can love. These ideas in our society can lead any individual to think that one way of expressing ourselves relates to one particular identity or sends the message that our expression of self, it may be wrong if it violates a norm or a binary. I went to my first Pride March, first time I marched with a flag like this one on our altar, when I was 14 years old. And at the time, there were very few cultural images of lesbian, gay, and bisexual people in the mainstream media, and none of transgender people. The internet wasn't nearly what it is now. I had few models of what a queer femme identity might look like, dressed like, or act like. But like any high school freshman, I felt a pressure to conform to something. But to what? I didn't quite know. To the parade, I wore something completely outside my normal during that period of my life. I think I had to dig sneakers out of the back of the closet. I didn't even realize I owned any, but I thought for some reason that's what I needed to be wearing to the Pride parade. And I wore a tight white men's tank top and long shorts with sneakers. And I scrambled to find a baseball hat, but I never found one. Now, there's nothing wrong with this. There is nothing wrong with an outfit for choice. But I thought this was the only way that a queer young woman dressed. But the whole day, I felt weird and out of sorts for me. But at the time, I thought this was the only option. I thought queerness had one gender expression. I thought to be gay, I must have to look like society, or what I thought society expected a gay woman of my age to dress like. And this version, this ill-fitting version, was somehow the 1998 version of that I knew, with what I had access to. And it would take me a while to understand that gender and sexuality were not synonymous, and that my particular expression of my gender could include a diverse set of styles, clothes, and a mashup of whatever felt like me. I could still claim, act out my identity as it felt inside. That my self-expression and integrity was not wed to one way of being a woman, of one way of being queer. In writing about welcoming queer people, Katie Ariok and Matthew Williamson ask us to think about the last time we saw LGBTQ queer people gathering. They said, we'd be willing to bet that it looked really good with banners and glitter and colors, they said. That is because queer people should reflect who we are. The spectacle can help us find each other and know that we do not have to be afraid or be alone. And I would learn eventually to find my people, those who would encourage me, who would love me as I am, who'd help me find a style that fit me best. This was a challenge for an adolescent, as it is for anyone at any age, struggling with society's prescribed ideas for what it means to have a gender. Getting in touch with my gender expression and how I truly wanted to present myself took time. It meant looking at all the ways that gender and sexuality had been described to me as a child, as a teenager, and as a young adult. It took sorting things out. It meant embracing what I liked without spending too much time evaluating myself for why I liked it. My friend Zur Alex Capitan, who is a Unitarian Universalist trainer and educator and uses the pronoun Z, writes about these kinds of embraces, these choices when confronted with those that condemn us, condemn people for their gender identity and expression under the guise of such is a choice. Z writes, I want to talk about the fact that just because someone who is out to destroy you says you chose to be the way you are, does not mean the path of best protection is to counter with, no, I didn't. It's not a choice. I've been was born this way, and I've always been this way. If anyone tries to invalidate you, Alex writes, or the way you seek intimacy by saying it's just a choice, tell them choice is sacred. Tell them that the inherent right of every person to have full authority and agency over choices they make about their lives and their bodies is a spiritual and human imperative. That there is a word for this, and it's liberation. That there is nothing more worth fighting for. Tell them that in your faith tradition, we don't love people despite their differences, or because they can't help being different. We love people because of the differences and because of diversity enriching our world and our communities. Tell them that in the final reckoning, if that's the perspective they're coming from, in the final reckoning, there's only one choice that they will be judged, and that's their choice. Tell them you hope they choose love. As a caring community, we can affirm Annie's self-expression as a spiritual gift. We can leave room for Annie's authentic voice and to accept the story that doesn't end at the uncle's wedding. Maybe Annie will eventually lose the plaid shirt. Maybe she will never wear dresses. Or maybe sometimes she will. Maybe the pronoun she will no longer speak to her sense of self, and she will take on another name or pronoun, such as he or they or ze. We can be open to however Annie continues to express herself. We can affirm each person's integrity and respect the inherent worth and dignity of each person. By doing so for one another, we can also give ourselves permission to be our true selves, to dress, to act, to laugh in such a way that gives us comfort, and that we recognize ourselves as whole and wholly deserving of love. I'm a member of an online group of other queer femme identified women in ministry. So other queer femme ministers. It's a community where we build relationships. We even sometimes get to meet in person. And we fight the stigma and invisibilities that come from claiming a femme identity, both within our LGBTQ community and in society at large. I asked the group a while ago how they explain why they like what they like when it comes to expressing their femme gender. Here are some of the responses I got. I choose daily to embody a revolutionary statement that masculine is not the default of the center from which we all radiate. Another, it pleases me. And a third, everyone's outside should be an affirmation and reflection of their inside. And inside, I am technicolor and glitter. Solidarity with people of all genders. Another said, expansiveness. My friend Catherine Clarenbach in a recent essay said, being the femme I am feels solid, settled, and true, just as much as the rest of my middle age does. Gender expression, expressing one's true self, is a radical act of resistance, and it's also a blessing. Perhaps it was a challenge for you to release your expectations for Annie's gender and sexuality. Perhaps you found yourself feeling like mom, wanting Annie to be herself, but fearing for what others might think or do. Perhaps you remember feeling like Annie with your favorite item of clothing. Maybe you've even worn, as invited, your favorite item of clothing today. What happened at the wedding? We don't know. We don't know how Annie was treated when she arrived in her plaid shirt and bow tie. And of course, there will be other events for Annie to attend. There'll be more places for her to bring her gifts and zest for life. As Annie grows up, there may be more desires and ways of self-definition that Annie will explore and have to defend. My friend Catherine Clarenbach wrote that one of the things I've always said about queer people is that we are natural storytellers. Because of the water we swim in, the air we breathe, we've had to examine our experiences and find a way to make a sense of them. The rivers of our lives may have jumped their banks several times or even over and over and again. But in our hearts, we know we are whole people. We know and we teach each other that we can find meaning in the narrative, in the story of our lives. We can remember what Alex Capitan said: if anyone tries to invalidate your authentic self or the way you seek intimacy by saying it's just a choice, we can respond, choice is sacred. We can tell them that the inherent worth of every person, the inherent right, is to have full authority and full agency over choices we make about our lives and our bodies, and that there is a word for that, liberation. There will be more times when Annie needs Albert to stand up for what's authentic expression and liberation for Annie. There'll be times when Mom will need to have Annie's back. There are times when Unitarian Universalists need to have each other's back. And for those who are transgender, genderqueer, and gender nonconforming, those times have been ongoing and are urgent. Last week, as some of you may have read about in my midweek reflection, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in important cases related to the discrimination and the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people. But this week, the breadth of what qualifies as sex discrimination was a key question in those pivotal cases, but also about the rights of everyone. Because everyone has the opportunity to be subjected to discrimination. The issue before the Supreme Court is not who ought to be subject to discrimination, but whether someone can discriminate. We can tell those who may need convincing that the legal basis of discrimination is a big deal for all of us who express our gender, which means all of us. Not just those who identify ourselves as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. We can remind them that we hope they will choose love. It is love, you know, my friend Reverend Catherine reminds me. The development of my gender identity is all about love, and so many kinds of love. Unitarian Universalists are people dedicated to love. We come from a love that rejoices in our creation and that will never let us go. Our inherent belovedness is our birthright, from which we can never be separated. I believe there may be people here in Santa Clarita Valley who are longing for a place where they are loved for who they are today or tomorrow. People whose lives have been dismissed, names misread, or lives condemned by ideology or dogma, people who have been actively ridiculed or excluded, people who have felt invisible or unable to share some of the truth of their lives with those around them, people who still can't come out to claim their names or their pronouns and their faith. Will their community sing as we did, enter, rejoice, and come in? And then will it act in accordance with that welcome, opening our hearts to some change, some transformation, the practice even of queerness in our storytelling? If we find our faith's integrity not only in one way of living, loving, or wherever we may find ourselves in terms of gender identity, but in deep relationship and welcome, may all those who cross the threshold of this Unitarian Universalist community know that the truth of their lives is a blessing. May it be so, and amen.